Okay, here I go. Let's go.
Welcome to Cheers to This, the podcast where meaningful conversation is mixed with a good drink. I'm your host, Jay Hutchins, and today I'm joined by Delonte, who's mastered the art of goal setting and becoming a legacy. So go ahead, pour yourself a drink and join the conversation. Hi, Delonte. It's great to have you.
Hey, Jay. Thanks for inviting me.
I'm just so glad that you're here. You know, here at Cheers to This, there's an important question that I always have to ask first. What's in your glass?
Prosecco.
Nice. I got some Prosecco with some peach here. So we're about to have a Prosecco kind of day, it looks like. Now, Delonte, do you happen to have anything you would like to cheers to today?
I want to cheers to life, just being effective and value.
Yes. Cheers to that.
Yeah. Cheers to adding value.
Oh, yeah. That's it. So, Delonte, I have a question for you to begin with here.
Okay.
You have a program called Goal Digging with Delonte.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond a great play on words, what is it about and how did it actually get started?
Well, Jay, I'm the type of person who I have to be looking forward to something. And so I can remember this as far back as being 17 years old. I was in the military. I would write up every payday what I wanted to do the next payday. If there was something, big purchase I was trying to buy, if there was something, a place I wanted to go, how was I going to save up to do it? So really, goal setting has always been a part of my life. As I've gotten older and the stakes have gotten greater and we were starting businesses, like without tracking and accountability, things just don't happen. People are just being to me. I don't want to say they're just surviving. They're just every day. You know, you're just kind of going through the motions. And I didn't want to be a professional bill payer. Because I can go to work to pay bills and then that's considered living. But to me, it's not. So I wanted to do some things, have some things, do some better things, move and grow. And so I don't know. I just felt like when I set things in front of me, I go get them. You know, better things happen to me.
So you mastered that goal setting for yourself. But it looks like you're helping other people set goals as well at this point.
Well, one of the things, Jay, that saddens me is that so many people live their life and they're just professional bill payers. They're really just existing. Like they're not living. You know what I mean? So there's no trips, or they think a vacation is going to a relative's house and staying in the back room and everybody. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I mean, go see some things, do some things, live some things, expose those children to some things so they can do greater things, that sort of thing. You know, like my first flight was, I was leaving to go to the military and the military flew me to boot camp. That was my first flight ever. Well, I wanted to make sure that my children knew how to navigate an airport early. You know what I mean? It was just a goal of mine. Anybody's goal can be whatever they want it to be.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like you really enjoy helping people set those goals.
Yes.
But you do realize that a lot of people get intimidated just by the idea of goal setting. Why do you think people are so intimidated by it?
One thing is people always say, I'm in my comfort zone. Are you? Because you look very uncomfortable to me. You know what I'm saying? So like, it's that for me. I'm watching people's lives and for what they want to portray is good or normal. They're just really portraying what they thought somebody said or being different from what they thought before, or what they saw their parents doing, they're going to do something different, or they're replicating it as such. Not that anything is wrong with any of that. If you are feeling fulfilled, do it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not fulfilled, if there are some things missing, if you want something extra, why they're intimidated because it's something new, is something different. Mm-hmm. I read this book a couple years ago, and I remember going and ordering 25 copies and just passing it out to anybody. And it was called The Dream Giver, I want to say. And the book, it was like the way somebody would try to talk about moving and doing something different. And then everybody would be like, ooh, be careful. I don't know. You want to do that? Other people left and they came back. So it's scary. And when people around, if your circle is so small and you're the biggest person in your circle, you're not going anywhere. You know what I mean?
No, that makes total sense. So you're kind of that leveling up of the circle, it sounds like, for some
people.
Please,
widen this space out or what happens circles.
Oh, yeah. I personally believe who you surround yourself with actually makes a large impact on where you're headed. Because people can only push you as far as they can see, right? And if people haven't actually seen much, they can only push you so far. So if you want to go far, you got to have people that can push you and are willing to push you.
Yeah. You know, I learned once, I'm going to say I was in my very early 20s, and she said, you are the sum total of the five people you talk and hang out with the most.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. So what I would start doing when I was coaching is, for a week, I wanted you to just do normal. You know, most people would try to then fix who they talk to. No, go back and look at your phone, look at who you've talked to, who you've communicated with, and or this week, really look at the five people that you're spending the most time with. And that is the sum total of who you are and your thought process. Believe it or not, like it or not, it is. And so if it's some of those frenemies and those fake friendships, that's who you are. If it's some husband that's not really feeling you and you really ain't feeling him either, that's who you are. If it's your, I don't know,
five people, the sum total of who you are. And I'm guessing that's who you can become as well. Or can you grow beyond those five people?
You're going to have to change out some of those people, because where would you get that information from? Mm-hmm. Okay, let me say this. So a very good friend of mine once, and so she was calling me a lot. And, you know, we would talk every now and then, but I could tell she was calling me for the pool, which was, it was always a pool. I was always giving. There was no transfer of energy. There was, mm-hmm. She wasn't depositing. I was giving. And so one day I asked, where do you get new information from? Where are you getting any new information from? Because that circle that she had, y'all are just swapping this information, and none of it was like some great information. So where are you getting this information from? She was in an awful marriage at the time. So ask yourself that question. Where are you getting any new information from? And that's how you grow, with new information. If you're not reading any new books, which can expand your thought process, if you're not watching any new, sort of not just regular reality show, but if, you know, what's pouring into you? If not, you're just dying or just recycling that same old trash. But anyway,
it's defining who you are and who you can become.
Absolutely.
So do you think that's what people get wrong the most when setting goals, is not having a strong enough foundation? Or what do you think people get wrong the most when starting to set goals?
Okay, so it's kind of what you said earlier, the fear of setting the goal in the first place. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I do when I'm coaching somebody is, so they'll tell me everything they want to do. And then one of the questions as we pick their top three, because I never want to just pile somebody up with 10 or 20, it's too much, especially if that's not the way you're accustomed to living. Okay, so we pick the top three. Mm-hmm. Have you ever tried this before? You want to work out three times a week. Have you ever tried to work out three times a week before? Of course they have. What stopped you before? I want to know, where are those detours before? A lot of it is in your own head. Some of it is, if you're dealing with five crabs, mm-hmm. And now you think you're going to go work out, get fine, and get small. No. Every time it's time to go work out, they're calling, or somebody else has something going on, or girl, I know you're tired, just stop it. You see what I'm saying? So I need to know where those detours, where the blockage is from before. And what we're going to work through when we set that goal is how we're going to get over those detours. I'm looking for nothing but outcomes. And you have to finish.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So if you want to run outside, if that's your new thing now, I want to run outside, not on the treadmill. Okay, well, let's look at the forecast, because it's supposed to rain 5 days this week. What you going to do? You still want to run outside? I'm running outside. Well, okay. We're not getting together next week, and you haven't ran outside 3 days. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's all about the outcomes and setting your minds to those outcomes and not letting anything deter you from it. That's what it sounds like.
And the other thing is, people are so accustomed to giving themselves grace. I'm not mad about giving yourself some grace, but you cannot live your life on grace. We got to get some things done. You see what I'm saying? So you have to have people in your circle who are holding you accountable, and you have to know how to hold yourself accountable. And most people don't. They just keep, you know, giving themselves a break. And when you keep giving yourself a break, you keep getting what you got, which is not what you want.
That is quite the word. But we got to circle back to something you did mention earlier. You know, there are so many people that say they are just trying to survive day to day. They don't have time to set goals. What message do you have for them?
First of all, you have to change your language, and you have to watch what you say to yourself, because your subconscious hears you, and your subconscious cannot differentiate and deviate truth from fake. It just takes the information you give it, and it attempts to process it and make it real. All I'm trying to do is survive. And then you're just going to find yourself surviving. Yeah, change your language. Don't nobody just want to survive. I'm trying to live, and I want to live out loud, and I want to laugh, and I want to be happy. How about that? Yeah, I just don't want to exist. For what? Yeah, so you said, and what do I say about that?
What's your message for that person who wants to, you know, no longer be just surviving? What should they do? It sounds like you have a plan for them, that they've got to change that mindset, the way that they talk to themselves. That's what it sounds like to me.
Number one, and you have to believe. And if you can't believe in you, who else will? Okay, so let me say this too. I've coached a lot of women who, you know, they want to date so bad. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so originally the way we start off is, you're going to date yourself. They don't want to stay at home by themselves. They do anything not to be at home. If your home is not a safe space, If your home is not a comfortable space and you don't even want to go there, why would somebody else want to come visit you there or be there? Create a space for your, a safe space that you want to get cozy in, okay? The other thing is take yourself out and date yourself. How do you know what you like? How do you know what you want? If you, but they don't even want to date themselves. They can't sit quiet with themselves. If you cannot sit with yourself, why somebody else want to sit with you? You see what I'm saying? So you have to create a space. You have to create a space.
There's no room to give yourself the space to not create the space. It sounds like that if you're going to do this, you commit to it, you go for it, and you make it happen.
Because who else going to make it happen for you? If not, what they're going to do is give you what they gave her. Now he over here dating her with you. But what if you don't like that? What if you don't want that? But because you're afraid or don't believe in your own self and what you want, or you haven't done it enough with you to know what you really want, you're just taking what he giving and pretending that you like it. I don't want rice. I want mashed potatoes. But that other girl ate rice, so he keep bringing rice. I don't... It's just something as small as that. Do you know what you want? Or are you just taking what it brings, whether it be him or just life? Because there's enough people out here every day that's willing to put their life in what they want and use and take from you. And then you're just out here trying to just pass that out. But and then feeling unfulfilled and unloved and unwanted. And you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What about you?
What about you? A lot of people do not ask themselves that question. They ask themselves, what does someone else want? What does someone else expect? What does someone else need? And then they never turn around and ask themselves the same question.
Right. Or try to get some too. And so, and I want to say this, I know in life, a lot of us have been taught that if you ask about yourself or want something for yourself and you want to be happy too, then you selfish. Call it what, you can label it whatever you like, but what you won't label is me always giving it to you and I don't have it and you do. What is...
Now, that actually brings up a very interesting question. You know, what do you say to people that do feel selfish or self-absorbed when they even think about setting goals or focusing on themselves? Because a lot of people go down that path. They say, I can't do this. I have to care about so-and-so. I have to do so-and-so. I can't put myself first because that's selfish.
What a lot of people label as selfish, I label as self-preservation. I'm trying to save myself out here. I really am. And so it just depends on a particular situation. There are some times that we do have to give of ourselves. There are some times that we do have to give of ourselves. And when we do have to give of ourselves, you won't question being selfish or not. But it's not just every day, all the time, anytime. And then you, again, walk away feeling so unfulfilled and so empty. You just cannot pour from an empty cup. You just can't. You just can't. And why do I always have to walk away empty? You see what I'm saying? Why do I always have to walk away empty? I have my my deposit only days. I do. I have deposit only days. And that is, I am only taking deposits. Do not ask me for a transfer. I am not taking, will you, can you, may you. No, I'm not passing out nothing. I'm only receiving.
And that has to be an empowering space to be in, to be able to say, I am going to receive because I deserve.
I have a T-shirt and everything.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So people know up front what
this
day
is.
It
what is. This is. I would text my family that my kids were still at home and they were in high school and I would text them. And even when some of them were off at college and I would still have that day, I would text them, this is deposit only day. Do not ask me for nothing. And please make a deposit. Even if it's just, mama, I love you. You know, my son is so funny, that oldest one, because he has a huge heart. So some of those days when he had a little money, he would send me some flowers or something like this. This is a deposit only day. Do not ask me for anything. And I think that's okay for us to do that, because if you have young children, some of those, they don't even know that you wake up and you got to feed them and make sure that, you know, you have, as a mom, you have to know where someone else is at all times, even when they're not with you 24 hours a day, where they're supposed to be, what are they doing, where they, that is a lot of responsibility to have. It really is. And after countless years of that, today, I don't want to know where anybody is, and I want somebody to worry about where I am. How about that?
How about that?
And if you think I'm selfish for that, I mean, I don't know. So what?
So since you brought family, I guess I have to ask you this question.
Go ahead.
What does the word legacy mean to you?
Oh, my God, Jane. You know, that's big for me. Because I think a lot of legacy is lived. It's not just left. Like, it is so important for me to create memories, to create traditions, to create this space for my children, my husband, my grandchildren, my mom, my friends. You know, one of the things I always say is, you know, if you have me, you have me.
Hey.
And so it's kind of a joke, but at the same time, it's the truth. Mm-hmm. Need me. I'm coming for you. Now, will I, you know, like a lot of parents will always say, you know, just call me to come pick you up and I don't have any questions. You're going to call me to come pick you up. I have a lot of questions. Now, whether I ask in the night or in the morning, I don't know. But I am coming and you will be safe when you get with me. But yeah, legacy for me, what I leave, you know, when I started starting all these businesses when in my early 30s, I felt like I was leaving something, not just, I'm leaving something for my grandchildren's grandchildren. And this was when my children were small. And that used to be the title under my name on my email.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yes, I'm creating space for my grandchildren's grandchildren. That's the legacy I planned on leaving. Whether it just be a mindset, whether it was going to be creating generational wealth for them as well. Huh? But with the right mindset, I didn't have to leave them the money. They would create their own. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So should everybody be focused on building a legacy, or is that an individual choice?
It's an individual choice for me. It might be something to catch on to, because what are they going to say about Grandma Thelma?
Mm-hmm.
Or Papa? I mean, what do they think about you? What did you leave anybody?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Not just your...
Right.
You know what I mean? Not just your, all yeah. this nonsense and mess and mean. It's just yeah. not. Yeah, no.
That's not a legacy anybody wants to leave behind.
No, but a lot of them are leaving that behind. If we look at some of the legacies that have been left behind, if you're speaking on the grandparents and the great-grandparents, some of that stuff not good. So you want to be intentional about what's being left. I think that's the thing for me. I was very intentional when my children were small. Before I even had children, first of all, let me be clear. I wasn't going to have any children.
Okay.
I did not think I was having children. I felt like I was tired after military. I had this whole other plan for me and my life. Well, you know, when I met Mr. Cropper, it was just on and popping. I just loved him. All I wanted to do was have his babies. I wanted to do. But when we had Dante, it was just, I knew I was going to be a great mother. Mm-hmm. I knew I was going to be a great mother. I knew that all three of my children were going to go to college and they were coming out of there with no debt. I knew that they were going to go in there and nobody was going to be filling out those forms every year, waiting for somebody to give them something. I knew that. You know what I mean? And I made my mind up about that when they were, I mean, maybe Dante and Sammy were in elementary school and Lil Sam wasn't even born yet.
Wow. I love that you kind of set that path in your mind and just went for it. So I guess it brings it back to goals, I guess. Is it possible to build a legacy without actually committing to setting goals? Is it possible?
No.
Okay.
Because you don't know what you're, I mean, what you're doing. If you're just going through life surviving, then you're teaching just survival.
Mm-hmm.
And survival is just not living.
Surviving is not living.
It's just not living to me.
No, I don't think it's to you. I think that's the reality of the situation. Yeah. Surviving is what gets us pushing from day to day to day, but it doesn't get us to 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. It doesn't help us build what we're dreaming of, what we really want.
Jay, it's not getting you till next month. It's not getting you to the next 3 months. Here's mm-hmm. the thing I tell all these little youngsters who out here just living so frivolous. One flat tire set them off. And then they can't even go get a new tire. They got to go to one of the little tire shops and get the little cheap tire. That's going to blow again.
Mm-hmm.
One pothole. Then they borrowing from the next payday. One situation pushes them into the next payday because you're just living right now. So it's not even 3 years, 5 years next year. They're pushing from payday to payday. What kind of life is that? Let me say this. You're a single mother. You had these babies. He left. This whole thing. You didn't get to go to school. Somebody didn't see. Whatever the story is. Okay. Now what? Because you can keep telling that story.
Mm-hmm.
It is the truth about how you got here. But how you going to get over here?
Mm-hmm.
And what we teaching them. Except singing that story. And saying that same story. That's fine. And now what?
Now what? That's a question that a lot of people need to answer. Now what?
Mm-hmm. So you might not be able to even look at a year and 3 years and 5 years. But can you please look at just saving $40 from this payday to the next 2 weeks to next payday? So every payday, you're not waiting on next payday. And I'm talking, I mean, I'll even challenge you to $20. And that's hard for a lot of families. I'm not saying it's not, but there's somewhere in there. We could skim $20 off the top or the bottom or somewhere. Yep. And then next payday, we could skim another 20. We could skim another 20. And that way, when that tire flat, you don't have to borrow. Like, I didn't realize how many people in a family unit borrow so much. Like, they know each other paydays, and then they kind of help each other out through the other payday. That's fine. But where do we get ahead at?
And it's got to be about getting ahead at some point.
At some point, somebody going to have to step out and get ahead. So we can all get ahead at some point. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Jay, I want people to dig in. I want people to just dig in. Just sit with themselves for a few minutes and try to figure out, what would you like your life to look like in, if you have to say next month, in 3 months or a year, what could your life look like in a year? So if you said to me, you know what, Delonte, I really feel like this is what I would like my life to look like in a year. I will walk that thing back for the year, where you are right now, and how do we get there? Realistically for you and where you are. Now, if you know that whatever field you're in, you don't make the kind of money that you need to make, then we need to look for some ways that you need to make money. If you know that you have a fear of people and it's going to take us 2 months to get you to make one video so you could be a this or do that or go on another job interview or apply for another job, then we can't expect to make the big check the whole time because we got some other little baby steps we have to do. But I would back that thing up and we would break this down to a week at a time, and then a month at a time, and then 3 months at a time, so we can really realistically get you where you need to be. And then we're going to celebrate every win. Every win. So if you've never saved $20, $40, and we do, then don't get upset. It was just $20. You ain't never saved $20. We're going to celebrate the $20. You see what I'm saying?
I love that. I absolutely love that.
Yeah, but if you can go bigger and really save the money, stop DoorDash. Stop, you know, eat from home sometimes. Save that extra money. And I think money is a big thing that people feel like, and things are getting tighter, and I get it.
Yeah.
You know, so if you can't just save half of your paycheck of $1,000 or whatever your goal is. So let me say this as well, Jay, real quick. The way I break my goals down, I have health goals. So that's from we're not even going to the doctor.
Yeah.
A lot of us have been on a weight loss journey, and you realize with the health condition that you were in before, can your family really count on you with your health in the state that it was in? So if you need to do that, there are some health goals that you need to meet, like get a doctor's appointment, go walking, drink some water.
Just drink some water.
There's relationship goals. Some of us need to work on our relationships from an intimate standpoint, but some of us can just work on building our relationships with our children. Some of us need to head back up and build our relationships or mend relationships or just keep the relationship going to do better with our parents, your friends, money and career goals. That's a whole nother setup. Everybody wants to, you know, save $1 million. Well, just hold on. Let's save 10. And then we're going to save 25. And then we can say, you know what I mean? Career goals. If you need to go back to school, if you need to look for another career, you need to educate yourself so you can change careers. You want to make sure, look for there's so many programs out there that if you would just look and get involved, you can do them. And a lot of them now, they're online. So money and career goals, that's a whole nother section. Spiritual goals, whoever is your sounding board or base. If you can't get in a safe space and sit quiet and feel that out and let that space get with you, that's number one right there. And you want to be able to always give back. I have a random act of kindness. Every week, I'm going to have a random act of kindness to somebody somewhere. And if I find myself at the end of the week, which I rarely do because I do it so much, then I just give it to anybody. I mean, I'm going to say something nice, give something, happiness, mind, self-care. That's huge for me because I can't pour from an empty cup. So that's another segment that I go through. And then fun goals, have some fun. Game nights at home. It doesn't have to be big. You don't have to take a big trip to Cabo. You don't have to do nothing huge. Have fun. Laugh. You know, sometimes you just have to laugh until you almost wet your pants. When the last time you just laughed real hard like that? What makes you happy? Do you even know? Do you have a friend? I have so many friends that call me. When I see their name on my phone, I start laughing. I start smiling because I know it's about to be good. And it's got to be good before I even say hello. So have you surrounded yourself with people that even give you that, put you in that space? Yeah. So again, health goals, spiritual goals, relationship goals, intimate, family, happiness, self-care goals, money, career goals, fun goals.
And those are the goals. And so to that, I got to say one last cheers, Delonte. Here's a cheers to digging in, setting goals, and building legacies.
That's good stuff, Jay.
Thank you so much for joining me today,
Delonte. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much.
Oh, I really appreciate the conversation. We're going to have to do this again for sure.
Please.
And just thank you to all the listeners for joining us today. And this has been Cheers to This.